The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, whether you like it or not, we're back. Hopefully you like it. But you got a great show planned for you. I'm flying a little bit blind this week, so stay with me. We always record our show. I don't think I'm breaking any radio protocol here. I think most people realize that we don't do call-ins, so you probably put it together that it's a recorded show. But we always usually record it after market hours on Friday. And that way we can get, you know, all the information in there we need to get, and I can give you guys real updates. But this week's a little bit different because, and I'll let you guys a little insight here, and I'm speaking before the fact. So on Tuesday of this week, which is, I'm recording this on the previous Friday, on the 11th, on Tuesday, I'm going with my 7-year-old, my 5-year-old, and my 2.5-year-old, and my wife, and then we're taking 2 teenagers, my younger cousins, with us, and we're going up to our church's family camp up in Malibu, which is, any people know Young Life, they've got that Malibu camp up in north of Vancouver, and so we're going to be on a 6.5-hour car ride with 2 ferries, and I'm not totally worried about my 7-year-old, my 5-year-old, my 2.5-year-old. This is by far the longest road trip, so hopefully it went well. I'll be back from it by the time you guys hear the show, but you know, wish me luck. So it should be interesting. My 2.5-year-old, he's spirited. Let's put it that way. But anyway, let's get into the show. Got to talk about, even though we're flying blind as far as the market update goes, so we can't do that this week. But there's a lot of other things that we want to discuss. And again, if you heard the show before, you probably realize I'm not out of things to discuss, but there was one thing I want to talk about right off the top here, and I've talked to a lot of existing clients about it, and I've received a lot of phone calls about it, because unlike most financial advisors, and we're a registered investment advisor, so it's a little bit different, but we have a saying that your money doesn't care how it's made, okay? And so having said that, I just saw a banner. I saw a banner on one of my investment websites that said 8.5% annuity returns. Right, 8.5%. And I get calls all the time about that. Hey, what do you have? 8.5%? Where are those products? Guys, they don't exist. Okay, so what they're talking about is they're talking about income annuities that grow your stream of guaranteed income by 8.5%, not your actual money. And those are not the type of annuities that we sell. We don't sell a lot of them, first of all. But we think that the correct annuity, the correct annuity can be a wonderful part of your investment portfolio, but not the types of annuities for the most part. There's always exceptions, right? But what we want to stay away from, and this is sort of counterintuitive, we want to stay away from income annuities, right? Annuities that promise lifetime income guarantees. And you're probably sitting there going, well, why? Well, most of you are probably like, oh, I've heard annuities are horrible. And recap this. We've talked about this before on the show, but you have 2 schools of thoughts. You talk to the insurance salesman, of course, and they're going to tell you, oh, it's annuities and don't risk your money and you can make all this and look at these guarantees. Then you got the other financial advisors like Ken Fisher, and you've probably heard him on TV. Annuities are horrible. We'd never sell annuities, blah, blah, blah. Like most things, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And this is coming from a guy that spent the majority of his career railing against annuities. And I'll tell you why. If I could buy an annuity, because annuities have drawbacks, right? One of the biggest drawbacks of annuities is liquidity, meaning that virtually every annuity out there, much like a CD, has a schedule that you have to adhere to in terms of how you withdraw your money. And if you violate that schedule, you pay penalties. They're not usually too bad, but you know, it provides a liquidity constraint. And that's the main drawback. And the way I always looked at it was, why would I take any type of liquidity constraints to make somewhere between 5 and 6% if you purchase the right annuity? Now, I'm speaking in total generalization, so do not use the information that I'm giving you right now to either buy or not buy an annuity, okay? Because first of all, there are hundreds of different kinds. It's really a diverse universe. So that's one of the things that irks me is when people go, I don't like annuities. And I go, well, which annuities are you talking about? Because there are actually some really good products out there. Conversely, there's some horrible products. And it's not that they're horrible. Usually it's because they're not used or sold correctly. But there are a few just downright awful products. But the problem with the annuities is that most people buy them for all the wrong reasons. The guaranteed lifetime income benefit sounds so good, right? You're never going to run out of money. Here's the issue. The amount of money that you're getting paid out, like a pension, and this is how the insurance guys sell it. Hey, it's a pension. Turn your money into a pension. And it is, in a way. Because you do. It's true. You've got the guaranteed lifetime income benefit. But most people, if we play the averages, most people won't turn on that lifetime income until after the age of 66. And we know the average life expectancy rate, it's climbing, but we know the average life expectancy is what, 83 to 86, male 83, 84, women are 85, 86, something like that. And so you've got a lifetime income payout, but most of us are only going to be taking it for about 20 years. Well, here's the deal. If you walk through what that lifetime payout is, and you look at your original, so say you're going to put $200,000 in one of these annuities and you're like, okay, great, then I'm going to get this lifetime payout. If you put that same $200,000 into a, let's say, 30-year U.S. Treasuries, all right, you could pay yourself the exact same amount of lifetime income that the annuity company is paying you. And you could do it for, on average, between 26, 27 years, assuming interest rate, you know, assuming a worst case scenario, you could do it for about 26, 27 years, but you would still control your money. Whereas in the annuity, you don't, right? Because now the insurance company is paying you, and basically they're going to tell you you can still pull cash out. But when you start taking the income on one of these guaranteed lifetime income products, due to the fee schedule, the withdrawal penalties, you're basically locked in. Some products lock you in. Others say you can get out. But if you look at the structure, it's too penal and nobody would actually do it if they understood it, right? So you're essentially locked in. Now, on the other side of it, if you put your $200,000, and I'm not advocating either one of these approaches, what I'm trying to do is illustrate why we don't like income annuities. For the most part, there are exceptions to every rule, but in general. And if you took that $200,000 and you put it, like I said, in the 30-year U.S. Treasuries, you can pay yourself that same amount of income for, on average, between 26 and 27 years. The difference is if interest rates rise, which when we're in the lowest interest rate environment in human history, I would say that's probably a pretty good chance of happening in the next 20 years. If interest rates rise, you can reinvest that money in higher yielding bonds and pay yourself even a higher level of income, and that money will last even longer. The point is you've got flexibility. You still have control over your money. Now, maybe you're worried about discipline. Maybe you're worried about selling too much. That's fine. That's why you should work with a financial advisor. Do not give up ownership of your money to an insurance company. The only reason they're agreeing to guarantee you a lifetime income benefit is because they're going to be making more on your money than they're paying you. And you can invest in virtually the same things they are and pay yourself the money and still have control over your assets. Now, having said that, that's the argument against most types of annuities. The other one I want you guys to be really careful about, and if you've got it, don't just poo-poo me and look the other way, okay? Hear me out. and I've done this with many clients, variable annuities. If you've got a variable annuity, call me. If you've got a variable annuity, call somebody. Get out of it. You're getting absolutely hammered. And the reason why is very simple. A variable annuity can and will lose money when the markets go down. It'll lose just as much, if not more, than a regular investment account. The only difference is, rather than paying 0.5% to 1% for that investment account, in a variable annuity, on average, you're paying 3.5%. 3.5% may not sound like a lot, but one of my clients in Renton, Wally, he had a large sum of money in variable annuities. And we did the math over the last 10 years. He had about 800,000, 900,000 in variable annuities. Over the last 10 years, he'd paid about $300,000 in fees. Yes, you heard me correct. $300,000 in fees. Unbelievable. And what did he get for that? He made less than half of what the market returned. So what do we talk about on this show? Know Your Risk Radio. We can take risks. We always do. But if we're taking risks, we've got to get compensated for it. In a variable annuity, you're taking all the risk. You can lose your money. You're just paying 3 times the amount to take that risk. It makes absolutely no sense. Now, that's not the way they sell it. That's not the way the brochures look. But do not buy into it. That's one of the one things that I tell clients. That's the one thing you can resoundly rely on. Ask somebody, is this a variable annuity? And save yourself some time. And this is coming from a guy that is licensed to sell it. Don't buy it. Tell them no. All right, just tell them no. Now, what's the good kind of annuity? Again, if it's used correctly, there are good annuities. There are annuities out there that give you 50% of the stock market's return, the S&P 500, that have no annual fees. Okay? Now, in the past, I didn't like these products either, right? Why? Because of interest rates. In 2004, the 10-year U.S. government bond paid 6.5%. Why would I remember annuities have drawbacks? Liquidity? We talked about that earlier, right? Why would I accept any drawbacks or liquidity constraints on my money to make between 5.5%, 6%, right? Because if we're getting 50% of the stock market historically returns 11%. That puts the annuity return right around 5.5%, 6%. Why would I accept the constraints of the annuity if I can get paid 6.5% every year with no fluctuations from the U.S. government? It never made sense. However, that same 10-year U.S. government bond in 2004 that was yielding 6.5%, today is at 2.2%. In addition to that, we're worried about rising interest rates, right? Again, lowest interest rates in human history. As interest rates rise, the value of our bonds goes down. The annuity gets its return from the stock market. You get 50% of the stock market return, which is averages 5.5%, 6%. I can take no cost, no management fee, not even to me, the advisor. And I can make that 5. Let's even call 4.5. Let's say you underperform. Let's say you make 4, 4.5. Okay. I can make that amount of money taking zero risk and being sheltered from interest rate risk while, you know, the best bond portfolio after fees is paying me 2, 2.5. And it's subject to interest rate risk. So like most things in life, guys, my point is there are actually some great annuity products out there. Now, it's certainly not the cornerstone of our business in any stretch of the imagination. But I can tell you this, the vast majority of our clients have a significant portion of what would be their bond money in these annuities. Now, we're not an annuity shop. People always hear that. They go, oh, I hate annuities. And I look at them and go, what have your bonds made over the last 5 years? We go through it. On average, they usually tell me 6-7%. They got annuity products that have made, and I can't quote, I don't want to quote performance, but well into the double digits over just the last 3 years. There are annuity products that our clients owned that made 15% or more in 2013. Now, that was a year when the market was up 30%. So I'm not saying that's a normal thing, but they exist. Now, are we always going to like them? No, because at some point in the future, interest rates are going to normalize. But right now, you know, Alan Greenspan earlier this week was talking about how the big bubble is in bonds. And I agree with him. I think there also happens to be a bubble in the market. But if you're asking me to take interest rate risk right now to invest in bonds, and the kicker for that, or the upside to that, is that after fees, I'm netting less than the inflation rate. Why in the world would you do that? You wouldn't. So don't buy into the 8.5% or 9% or 11% guarantees that other guys on the radio talk about, or you'll see the banners on the radio or on the website or whatever. That's nonsense. They're talking about a guaranteed income annuity, and it's just they're trying to sucker you into it. However, don't listen to people to just write them off completely, because those same people are probably managing your money, charging you 1.5% to manage your money. And that 1.5% goes for your bonds as well, right? And after inflation, your bonds are maybe making you 1%, or excuse me, after the management fee, your bonds are netting you out 1.5%. And they're sitting there telling you a fixed annuity that's guaranteed against loss and sheltered against rising interest rates, that those are bad. And by the way, has no annual expense fee. So the whole annuity question is, look, it's like anything else. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. They can be very valuable tools if they're used correctly. They are not a replacement for stocks, no matter what insurance salesmen say, but they can be a wonderful replacement for bonds or an addition to a bond portfolio. So as always, I overshot my runway. We got to take a quick break. If you want to talk about annuities, or if you want to talk about your variable annuity, give us a call. We've spent a lot of time looking into this. We've spent a lot of time researching it. And as a registered investment advisor, I think we've got a very unbiased view on it, right? We can do all of the above. And I think these people that anecdotally dismiss annuities are off their rocker. I think the people that sit there and use annuities as a replacement for stocks might as well be stealing money from people. Okay? The truth lies somewhere in the middle. But it can be a very valuable, especially in a zero interest rate world. The reason you're in bonds is for security. The reason you're in CDs is for security. Bonds aren't guaranteed not to lose money. And the annuities, the right ones, are making 2.5-3 times as much as a lot of bond portfolios. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We'll talk to you about that. We'll do a risk review. We'll give you the inside scoop. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com and get information, listen to all of our podcasts we've done before. You can go to our iTunes page, listen to our different episodes. But my producer's giving me the ugly eye, so I got to run. I'm way over my time. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, I hope you guys are still with us. Hope I didn't put you all to sleep with the real value added. But if you've heard this show before, you know I've got to do these economic hiatuses or detours. I love what I do. I've just always found the markets and finance just so interesting. There's so many different things to look at and consider. It's like this puzzle that you can never really put together. And I don't want to scare you, meaning that we don't know how to put it together. We don't know how to look at it, but there's too many variables and there's all this great information. And it's just always been fascinating to me. And hopefully you guys find it interesting as well. So, but let's talk about valuations and returns. Okay. Cause we talk about all the time how we don't time markets, right? And I can't say it enough. Okay, if you're out there, you're a day trader, you're like, well, my buddy, look, take it from somebody that's tried it and had some success at it, but not consistently. You just can't do it, okay? But We did a study this week where we looked at valuations of stocks. Okay, and remember, the prices of stocks are different from the valuations. Okay, everybody, when I say valuations, they go, "Oh yeah, I know. The Dow's at 22,000." They go, "No. That's stock prices. That's not valuations. The Dow could be at 30,000 and it could be dirt cheap." Okay? Because when we're talking about valuations, we're talking about if a company is making X amount of dollars in profits, how much are we willing to pay for their stock, right? So we're talking about valuations. Historically, all things, this is a very rudimentary explanation, all things being held equal, if a company is paying in making X amount of profits, going back 100 years, the historical average of the stock market is we'll pay 16 times earnings for that stock. Okay? Today, we're at 25. And quick math, that's what is that? That's about 50% above average. Okay? And there's another way to look at averages, or prices. And it's using a metric we call the Cape-Shiller Index. It was developed by a guy named Robert Shiller, brilliant economist. And basically what he tried to do is, because when you're looking at prices of stocks, valuations, of stocks, there can be a lot of noise. And what I mean by that is you can have these short-term blips where profits shoot down, you know, way more than they should over a very short period of time, making stocks look really cheap or really expensive. They can also shoot up for random reasons. And so, like with all other statistics, what we want to do is try to smooth it out to look at a trend line, right? To really get an idea where things are going. And so this guy, Robert Shiller, invented the Cape Index. We've talked about it before on the show. And basically what it does is it smooths out profits and valuations over a 10-year timeline and really gives you an idea of where things have been and what trajectory they're on now. And we compared that over the last 90 years to stock price movements. And we found something really, really interesting. Okay. When you bought stocks, when the Cape-Shiller Index, the valuation metric, was at 6 or less, which hasn't happened a lot of times, but it has happened. Even though the long run average of the S&P 500, the stock market, is right around 11% a year, if you bought stocks when that Cape-Shiller Index was at 6 or less, your long-term return on those stocks was a little better than 20% a year. Pretty impressive, right? Conversely, if you bought those same stocks when their Cape-Shiller average was at 23 or greater, the long run return on those stocks is about 5%. It's a pretty big difference, huh? Now, the people that look down their nose at these metrics, because you've got these people, right? That no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, they always think the market's going sky high and it's going to infinity and beyond, as we've said on the show before. And conversely, you've got people that always think the bottom's about ready to drop out, right? They're the Chicken Littles, the sky's falling. And they may or may not recognize these valuation metrics because they go, "Oh, it's not a good timing tool." We're not trying to time it, right? We're in finance, we're always trying to play the averages. We're trying to bat for average, right? But think about that. The Cape-Shiller Index, when it's at 6 or below, and if you purchase stocks when it's at 6 or below, your long-term return average over the last 90 years has been 21%, just shy of 21% a year. But if you buy them at 23, it's 5%. Well, where's the Cape-Shiller Index at right now? It's just shy of 31, which just happens to be the third highest reading in history. It's tied for second, 1929 being the other time. And for those of you that don't know your history, 1929 happened to be the Great Depression, the beginning of the Great Depression, and when the Cape-Shiller Index reached the levels that it's at now, We ended 1929 with an 85% decline in the market. Am I saying that's going to happen? No. Remember, we're not trying to time it. What we're doing is we're building a case and we're looking at all these different pieces of information, and the conclusion we're drawing is that, hey, now's a pretty good time to revisit our plan to make sure that we're staying disciplined to our approach, to rebalance our portfolio, to take another look at things and possibly play things a little on the cautious side. I mean, that only seems to make sense. Those are pretty resound. I mean, you know, I find those numbers to be pretty compelling. And remember, those numbers are when the Cape-Shiller index is at 23 or greater, your long-term return on your stocks is 5%. We're at 31, guys. Okay, and again, this is hard data. I'm not looking at this and coming up with my own conclusions and saying, oh, you know, it's... And I'm not even advocating that we sell everything because we don't time markets. But just like I was urgently telling clients in 2009, guys, close your eyes and buy. We got to buy. We got seriously cheap stocks here. Okay? So in 2009, we were actually getting more aggressive. We weren't violating our long-term plan. We were staying disciplined. But we were stretching out to the aggressive edges of our plans in 2009. Today, it's the exact opposite. We're to the conservative edges of our plans. And why is that? Because we've had a great run. And if prices keep going up, if my clients look at me 10 years from now and they go, Zach, had we taken a different approach, we could have made a little bit more money. That's a result I can live with. The result I cannot live with is, Zach, because we did your plan, we weren't able to retire. Or we weren't able to accomplish our retirement goals. Or we had to get another job. Or we weren't able to pay for our grandkids' college. And these aren't drastic makeovers, guys. It's just about reining it in a little. Just taking the cautious approach. And if we're wrong, our home keeps going up in value and our investments keep going up in value. And everything's fine. But retirement's the one thing we can't get wrong. We can't be right 80% of the time in retirement planning. Right? You only get one shot. Sort of like my grandfather used to say, you know, you'd always have these permabears out there like, oh, the world's ending and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And he'd say, you know, Zachary, you got to be careful when you're betting on the end of the world because it only happens once, so you better be right. And you know, I always think about that because we don't want to bet on the end of the world. That's not what we're doing, but we're just making sure that we're adhering to our disciplined approach. So anyway, we got to get rolling again. Man, these segments go fast. I feel like Darren's lying to me over here. And as always, guys, you can give us a call. You can talk to me directly, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And give us a call. I love having the interaction. We do not do the high-pressure sales things. Matter of fact, when Dory became a client and Dory sponsored us and endorsed us and all that stuff, he said, now, you know, I want you to do the real sales, you know, your real approach on me because I don't want you out there strong-arming listeners. And I laughed and I just said, no, it's not the way we do it. So you don't have to worry about that. Hopefully we'll just have a good conversation and we'll just give you some good information. And if you don't feel like doing that, and you can also give us a call and just request, you know, one of the booklets that we talk about during the breaks. And if nothing else, just read it. Just know what's going on. We've actually got to update. I've been telling listeners we're going to update it, and I've just been so swamped. But we got to get on that. But because a lot of the stuff we've got in there, it's actually gotten more drastic, right? We're painting the pictures, and prices have continued to go up, and valuations have gotten more stretched. But if you get nothing else from this, guys, if you don't end up calling, if you don't end up getting the booklet, whatever, just revisit your investment approach. Make sure that you're staying within your guidelines. Make sure you understand what big market drops would do to your portfolio. Make sure that no matter what happens, you're prepared. Okay? It's like, it's the Boy Scout credo, right? Always be prepared. We should apply that to finance. But anyway, stick with us because the one thing I forgot to mention is that next segment, we've got a Dory's going to join us in the studio. We've got a little conversation with Mr. Dory Monson, the mouth of Seattle, as I call him, or the voice of Seattle. Probably wouldn't like mouth of Seattle. But anyway, stick with us. We're going to be right back with Dory Thanks for joining us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. And without further ado, back from his...
Yeah! I'm ready to roll. Let's go.
You know, from working with you now, you have a complicated relationship with your listeners. I've heard... I meet these people, and everybody that I meet with, oh, yeah, Dory. But there's a small segment of these people that it's so funny to me. They don't see things the way you do. They don't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they act annoyed, but I ask, do you ever miss a show? And they go, oh, no, I listen to it every day.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can't not listen.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. You got people that like you and people that don't. But they still listen. They don't miss the show.
No, I like being their addiction. I'm the monkey on their back.
You're the skeleton of their closet.
Yes, it's exactly.
Their guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, we want to. So, getting back into the whole financial thing, where we are now, and I started this show talking. We're living in rarefied air here.
Mm-hmm.
We are now officially. This happened a week and a half ago. The most expensive stock market in history,
right?
Based on the Warren Buffett yardstick, which you and I have talked a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just the whole gist of this. And you and I have spoken a lot about this off the air and on the air, and the whole thing that I'm trying to tell people is, look, we don't time markets. We don't know what's going to happen, right? Nobody does,
mm-hmm.
which you would agree with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, maybe you do.
I I can't believe that the market continued to go up and up and up. I thought I was out of gas. But, I also see the underlying fundamentals that, record profits for American businesses right now. And foreign cash is pouring in to America. And then you got companies like Apple. They're sitting on, $256 billion dollars in cash.
Yeah,
they got $250 billion in cash.
You've been doing your homework.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I stay on top of these things.
I know you do. Yeah. No, there. And what I was trying to explain to listeners, though, is that, we don't, like I said, we're not trying to be binary. We're not trying to say we believe market's going up, market's going down, whatever. But when you see things like this where everything's great,
mm-hmm.
it's a party, record high valuations, all this kind of stuff, to me, it's a great opportunity to revisit the disciplined approach, right? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? This is not a time to be putting more capital to work right? It's what is your plan?
Have a plan
right.
and stick with it.
Right.
Yeah, and like my daughters, who my wife and I have really tried to impress upon them the importance of investing at an early age, and just staying with a plan.
Right.
And they've enjoyed some really good times here since they started investing.
I'd say so.
The last 2-3 years. It'll be interesting when you've never had a bump. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. And if they, because that's been the big thing. That's what I like, how you deal with your clients. If there's a hiccup that is inevitably going to come, because these things always go in cycles, are they going to be able to, after just seeing a mark that goes up, 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 are they going to be able to stay with the plan, or are they going to panic and do what the undisciplined do, and that is, mark goes down, I'm going to sell everything, then you sell at the bottom, and right now people are exuberant, and they might be buying at the top. you just have to have a plan. You stay with it. And yeah, I love your approach. That's why I like everything you do.
Well, I should just let you host the show because that's what I'm preaching all the time.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things too, we were talking about this earlier, but adhering to the discipline takes a lot of the emotion out of it. And what I mean by that is if you don't get over exuberant, and you know, I we've talked about this. I'm seeing it every single day where 75, 80 year old people who have gone from 60% stocks to now all the way up to 85, 90% because bonds aren't paying. They're completely violating their long-term plans, right? And one of the reasons we do that we advocate that discipline approach is when you overreact on the upside, you're going to overreact on the downside.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and emotion is, you know, not just in investing, but in life. If you let your decision-making and all the thoughtfulness that you put and the discipline that you put into every aspect of your life, if you let that get overwhelmed by emotion, then you're not making the best decisions all of a sudden. And that's where, that's where so many people, and I get it. I understand. That's human nature. But that's why it's nice to have somebody along for your ride who can help you just maintain that disciplined, sensible, and thoughtful approach.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, it's especially in the last couple months, it's become harder and harder and less popular because the first thing, just in the last couple months, I've seen a sentiment shift where one of the first things people want to talk about is, hey, what's your hot stock pick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I went, whoa, hold on, for what?
Yeah,
we don't even have a plan in place. Do I know if it, you know what I mean? It's they're trying to jump past.
Yep.
They're getting caught up in the exuberance of it all.
Sure.
And to be fair to them, that's really been missing in the market through, you know, we've had a spectacular rally for the last 8.5, 9 years. But that investor exuberance, that overconfidence really has not been a part of it. But boy, has it showed up in spades in the last 2-3 months.
Yeah. Well, I'm even prone to that because, you know, I've feared that the market's overvalued. I put a little bit of my meager portfolio in cash a year or so ago. And you know, I've been thinking, what should I be doing with that?
Yeah.
Am I missing that? But I know I'm not going to let myself be ruled by emotion. And I'm not going to, just because things have been really good on the upside, I'm not going to start, you know, throwing a bunch in right now when my whole reason for being fearful that the market was overvalued, it's even more overvalued today than it was a year ago.
So, but
we're all prone to that. Even if you try to be disciplined, and that's where you got to catch yourself. You got to make sure that you just have a plan.
Yep. And Dory, you've been good at that. I mean, you were executing your own discipline strategy when you and I met.
Yeah.
I mean, you were being pretty.
Yeah, I enjoy it. But I enjoy it a lot. But I also have loved the ideas, and you know, you just have brought, even to somebody like me who, you know, really enjoys this world that you dwell in, and the challenge of it. Then I like the math side of it, but you know, even for somebody like me who spends a fair amount of time learning about it, you brought in all these ideas and things that I didn't even know about that,
well,
you know, has been really good for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, when I do my spots for you during my show, I talk about this because, you know, I have 60 seconds to tell a story about you, but you put together this 12-page complimentary booklet that kind of distills all of your ideas. And, you know, I'd encourage all the listeners on this show, if they haven't done so already, to just get that, and they can see and hear about your plan.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important to point out with the booklet, too. The booklet doesn't cover our entire philosophy.
No.
But it shows one way in which we're trying to think outside the box and, you know, lower the exposure to risk for clients, lower the expenses, but still keep them on their plan.
And how do people get this booklet, Zach?
Well, they can call 866-779-RISK, and we will get it to them, and complimentary, no obligations. And like I said, if nothing else, just arm yourself with the information. You talk about it all the time. Educate yourself.
There you go.
Know what's going on.
866-779-RISK.
You got it.
Okay.
All right.
Good stuff, Zach. Thank you, sir.
And thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks as always. I don't think I said this yet. Thanks as always for sharing a part of your weekend with us and listening. As always, love getting a chance to talk to the listeners. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Set up your risk review. We'll discuss this with you. We'll go over your portfolio, do a side-by-side comparison of how we do things differently. But without further ado, I want to jump right into this one. I was watching we've talked a lot about Robert Shiller. I think he's a great economist. He's done the Cape-Shiller pricing index, which is something that we've followed, which has been a very helpful way and a very sensible way to value stocks and look at the value of companies and see how expensive or inexpensive their stock is. But anyway, so he had an interview with Jeremy Siegel, a professor at Harvard or Wharton. Economics finance professor. It's at Wharton School of Business. Very smart guy. And he is what I call a permabull. I have never heard, for over a decade now, every time I hear Jeremy Siegel talk, this is why stocks are going up and they're going up higher and always own stocks and blah, 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 blah. And basically, he has been wrong every single time. Concerning the last big market drops, he's never foreseen it. He's never, he's always predicted greater returns than have happened. He doesn't acknowledge the fact that if you're one of these people that just belong the stock market, you're always going to make 11%. If we look at the stock market today at all-time highs and we trace it back to 1999, okay, over that period of time, and you've been invested in the stock market the entire time, you've made about 5.5% of your money, not 11. And guys like Jeremy Siegel refuse to acknowledge that. That's real data. All right. And I'm not saying this because you shouldn't invest in stocks. Every one of our clients does. I'm just saying it because know your risk. What are we investing for? The guys like Jeremy Siegel, you don't want to listen to them as it pertains maybe about what stocks to own or what areas of the market you want to be in, sure, but not about retirement planning, because he knows nothing about it. And he makes that perfectly clear every time he talks. But he had a conversation with Robert Shiller on an interview. And they were talking about the low volatility environment. And this irritates the living heck out of me when these academics get on there and they talk. Okay, so anyway, it's easy for me to digress because it's so frustrating. But one thing we have seen, especially in the last year, is a record low amount of volatility. Now, many of you probably know what that means. Many of you probably don't. And the ones that don't, maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, I know what it means. It means things go up and down. Well, yes. But in the market, it basically means things go down or people are worried about things going down, because there's a way we measure volatility, and it's using something called the VIX, which is the volatility index. And what the VIX measures, we've talked about it on the show before, so you've heard me talk about this, bear with me. But what the VIX measures basically well, not basically, what it measures is the amount of people betting against the market using options or the amount of people betting with the market using options. And options are a good way to look at sentiment because options are what we use to hedge overall portfolios. Some people invest in options directly, and you could do that. You make a lot of money. You can also lose a lot of money. But they're great things to hedge, meaning, you know, you could have 95% of your portfolio or 90% of your portfolio in stocks, and you could put like 5 to, you know, 6% of your portfolio in options that are bets against the market. And if you do it correctly, those options, they have a lot of pop. And so if the market crashed like 40%, just even though you've only got 5% or 6% in options, they're leveraged. So if you do it correctly, your options could make enough to outweigh the 40% loss you took on your stocks. And that's why we like to use them as hedges, because we don't have to tie up a lot of our money, right? We can put a little insurance in the portfolio there and not have to use a bunch, right? So if the market keeps going up, maybe the option loses 20% of its value, but we've only got 5%. So it's a 1% drain on the portfolio. So the portfolio still goes up virtually as much as it would have, even if the options weren't there. But if the market crashes, the options go shooting up as high as 6-7 times the original investment. And they can buoy the entire investment. So that's why guys like to use them. So anyway, that's what the VIX looks at, is how many of these options or puts that are betting against the market are being bought versus how many of the options, calls, and calls betting on the market going up are being bought. So it's sort of a way to gauge, do people think markets are going down or do people think markets are going up? Well, over the last year, and we've seen this over the last 5 years, but it's been especially incredible historically over the last year. Volatility has been at historic lows. Okay? And I mean, long run average on the volatility index, the VIX, is like 15, 16. And it is traded for months at a time below 10 or 11. I mean, it's finished multiple days in the nines. It even got down into the eights, which is just unbelievable. I mean, I remember, you know, there was a point in my career, whenever you saw the VIX at 13, you just bought it just because it was at 13. That was like the, you know, as low as it could go. Now we see it print an 8, which is just mind numbing. But anyway, Shiller and Siegel are on this interview and they're talking about this low volatility environment and what's it mean. And there's some people that say, well, it means there's an impending disaster that's going to happen or whatever. And you know, you can take any metric like that and you can make it what you want it to be, right? So we've got to take it all with a grain of salt. But Siegel gets on there and he says that he doesn't think it's a problem. He thinks it's emblematic of a safer financial framework. That things are safer now, that Dodd-Frank's shored everything up, and now we've just got historic volatility or historically low volatility, and it means things are good. And look, I don't mean to bash the guy. He is a professor at Wharton after all, so his academic credentials are certainly better than I am. But it's clear he's never managed money. Because historically low volatility isn't good. And I'll tell you why. Because volatility, let's replace it with fear, right? Because that's basically what it is. It's synonymous with fear. When you're teaching your child how to ride a bike, do you want them to be fearful? You don't want them to be afraid. As a good friend of mine in college said, I've been scared many times, but never afraid. But you don't want them to be afraid. But you wanted them to be fearful in the sense that they have respect for what's going on. When you show me record low volatility for an extended period of time, what it tells me is that there is no respect for the possibility of loss. And that's also reflected in the record amount of leverage, the record amount of margin debt that we currently have on Wall Street. Again, nobody talks about this. Why? I don't know. It's almost like people refuse to believe that markets can go both ways. But when you hear people making an argument that volatility is low and that's good, look, whether you think the market's going up or down, we should all agree that abnormally low volatility like this, and the reason it's low is because everybody is so convinced the market's never going to go down that they're actually selling volatility. Now, I could spend an hour talking about that, and I don't want to numb your brain. But that's insanity. They're selling volatility at record lows because they're just convinced the market can't go down. And that also creates a feedback loop in the markets, because the lower volatility goes, the more guys like Siegel get fired up and tell people to buy. And more importantly, these trading programs and these program trading machines and these algorithmic trading programs, they look at volatility as a key metric on, you know, whether to buy or sell stocks. So when volatility is dropping, they buy more and more stocks. And it creates this feedback loop. But what happens to all feedback loops? They break down. And when they break down, when you've got a feedback loop, the longer it's gone, the more vicious the breakdown's going to be. So when you hear somebody talking about low volatility being a positive thing, it's not. It means there's no fear in the market. Fear is synonymous with respect. When everybody and their mother is sure something's going to go up, it doesn't mean you always take the other side of the bet, but it certainly means you proceed with caution. And these people are just ignoring all the economic road signs. Why? I don't know. I don't know why they did it in 08. I don't know why they did it in 99, but this is what always happens at the top of markets. And it just drives me nuts, because it's not about whether we think the market's going up and down. We've already talked about it many times on the show. We can't time it. But when you show me a market where no one's fearful and no one respects the possibility that things can go down, I'll show you a market. My immediate thought, if you just drop me in here from Mars and said the VIX is at 845 or 8.45, or it's been below 10 for 10 trading days, my immediate reaction would be, ooh. And why? Because when volatility is that low, you know there's things going on the other side that shouldn't be either. And my first suspicion would be people are record long stocks. You've got record high margin debt. That would be my suspicion. Guess what? That's exactly what's going on right now. It's exactly what's going on right now. So what does it tell us? Does it mean we run and hide? No. Again, it's another point that illustrates, guys, right now is just a great time to proceed with caution. Right now is a great time to revisit your investment goals. Right now is a great time to revisit your retirement goals and make sure that you're not exposed to more risk than possible or than you need to be. And rebalance things. Take another look at it, especially if you're close to retirement, especially if you are retired. Make sure you've stayed in your lane. So anyway, I don't mean to preach at you. I just see these things all the time. And I love it when they come from guys like Jeremy Siegel, who's a professor who's never actually managed money. And he goes on there and they tout what he says. And the guy literally has been dead wrong every single big market turn. Because his answer is always the same. Just buy stocks. Now, should we always own stocks and not try to sell them? Yes, we should always own a portion of our money in stocks, but it should be reflective of our retirement goals. And guys that use this information as fodder or reasoning about how this market's just going to keep going higher and things are safer now. Guys, nothing's safer now. We always say that. Dodd-Frank did nothing. As a matter of fact, 95% of the provisions in Dodd-Frank haven't even gone into place yet. I'm just shocked this guy's a professor and doesn't know that. Do your homework, man. Anyway, okay, I'm done ranting. I think I got that from Dory. He's rubbed off on me. But anyway, as always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com. Look at the website. Listen to all of our other podcasts. Got about 190 of them so far on iTunes. And give us a call. Yeah, we'd love to do a portfolio review with you. We can talk about this. As you can tell, I can talk about this stuff all day long. So anyway, but just, you know, take what I'm saying. Make sure you've stayed in your lane. Make sure your portfolio resembles where it should be and fits your long-term goals, and that you're not overextended on risk. So anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, I hope you guys are still out there. We're back. And we got a short segment here because we got to run before the end of the show. But there's some we haven't talked about on the show before. And, you know, I haven't researched this as deeply as some other things. But I think it's really important because it's a lot of talk in the media. And I want to talk about Bitcoin, right? And these what are the cryptocurrencies, is what they call them. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls from clients or even listeners on the show. Hey, what do you think about Bitcoin? Here's what I think about Bitcoin. If you want to invest in Bitcoin, use it out of your personal money and not your retirement money. Bitcoin is not an investment. It's a bet. And I don't care what anybody else tells you. The way we look at an investment by its very nature is something that has, although we don't know the future, it's something that provides us a glimpse into the future. It's something that has a track record or a trend or something we can look at, right? Conversely, this same argument could be used why normal investors should not trade currencies. You're betting against much bigger people that have much more information, and it, you're basically set out to lose. Now, you can make a little money trading currencies here and there. I'm not saying you can. I don't know anybody that's not on the institutional side of it that has made a career or made substantial gains over a long period of time betting on currencies. Bitcoin's the exact same way, except Bitcoin even has less look-through because there is no government backing Bitcoin. There is no institution backing Bitcoin, which some people say is a positive, and I understand that argument. Conversely, it's completely up to the crowd. If people decide that they like it, it could keep going up. Bitcoin's currently at around $3,400 a coin. I wouldn't be shocked within the next 5 to 10 years if you saw Bitcoin at $50,000, $60,000 a coin. I wouldn't be shocked. Conversely, I wouldn't be shocked if you saw it at $100 a coin within the next 16 months. Because there is no information, there is no history, there are no examples, there is no revenue, you know, trend line that we can follow. There is no valuation we can place on it. So if you want to invest in Bitcoin, and I actually bought a little bit for a very small amount of money, actually a ways back, but it wasn't part of my investment portfolio. It was just I thought it was interesting. I thought it illustrated the problem that we currently have with developed economies around the world, meaning, and if you think about it, I think this is really funny about it. Why is Bitcoin successful? Why has it been successful? Why has it gotten popular? Because it's as valid as any other currency out there. Because these currencies today are fiat currencies. They're not backed by anything. Now, having said that, there's a drawback there, right? Because at any moment, governments can decide not to take payments or not allow the transaction of Bitcoin through businesses. And I think that's eventually what you'll see happen. They'll figure out a way to make it illegal because Bitcoin is competing with them. So anyway, we got to go already. Got to tie it up. But what I would tell you is if you want to do Bitcoin, do not make it part of your investment portfolio. Use other money. And just make a small gamble. It's like a lottery ticket. If it pays off, great. If it doesn't, whatever. Don't make it a big enough part of your portfolio, no matter what anybody tells you, because there's no way to know. Nobody knows what's going to happen with Bitcoin. It's a bet. It's a guess. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com. Look at the website. Give us a call. Do the free risk reviews, and we'll help you out in any way we can. We're not going to twist your arm. If nothing else, we'll just arm you with some information. So hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.